Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome to Reality TV. I'm Jody, your best friend and inner voice that breaks down all the best of the best and worst in reality TV this week. Today is going to be a little throwback encore presentation for you. Way back when I was a podcasting pup back in episode 17. But last night was the counting on wedding, so why not pull an oldie out of the vault? I'll be back on Friday with a recap of this week's current lineup, so until then, stay salty. Can I just thank you, TLC, personally, for only making this a one-hour special? I don't know what I did right in my life for you to limit this to the 1 hour and give us a two-hour, two-night finale of Before the 90 Days. It's a beautiful gesture, and on behalf of all of us, we are truly touched. So we start off counting on with a very abrupt, in-your-cabbage-patch-face shot of Kendra squealing, "I can't believe it's my wedding day!" She's most looking forward to her first kiss. Now they've talked about it, and she says, "Joe's going to be the first one to go for it, but he's going to make sure he doesn't hurt me or anything." Do you think they've talked about the wedding night? You know, like the naughty, naughty Bible boom boom? I have some thoughts on that later, but first, the question came to my mind, is Kendra from a quiverful family? So I looked it up, and for those of you that didn't know, like I didn't, the Caldwells have 7 kids, and Kendra is the oldest. I also found 3 iterations of Pastor Caldwell's website for Lighthouse Baptist Church. Each one is super basic. It looks like I created it, and I still need my 7-year-old to help me sign into my Apple ID, so that's telling you something. Now, I knew this group was obviously super, super conservative and hardcore, go God, but I started reading their beliefs tab and it freaked me the hell out. They go in fairly deep about their belief in the rapture and that there's going to be a war and an Armageddon. The only Armageddon I know of is the one where Bruce Willis dies at the end and Aerosmith plays. And I can never look at the word Armageddon and not think of my ex-brother-in-law, who is a flaming monster piece of garbage. And he was Costa Rican, so think accent of Pedro, and he would call it Armageddon. I dare you now to say that out loud, and you're going to read it that way for the rest of your life. Armageddon. Oh, and also Josh Duggar publicly endorsed this guy, Pastor Paul Caldwell, which how back in the throat is that, Paul Caldwell, when he was going to run for some sort of office. So again, there you go. That tells you a lot. Anyway, after Kendra swims away signaling nearby orcas, we see Joseph in the boys' barracks. They have no less than 11 to 12 beds in there, stacked 3 high. Did you see those nasty beds on the very bottom on the floor? Like the mattress was on the floor. And are we sure there aren't 25 in kids counting, but 6 of them died after those bunk bed structures collapsed on them? And after Jess's admission to her house being the most disgusting home I've ever seen, next to A&E's Hoarders, check out her Instagram or go check out the Welcome to Reality TV Facebook page. We have photos of it. I'm seeing how dirty the Duggars really are. Michelle is a fraud, and this confirms my belief that she is just kept heavily medicated and only released into the wild on filming days because she is not helping to pick up that house at all. The bathroom in the background is gross. There's several wet, dirty towels laying on the floor. The sheets looked all thinned out and dirty and just overall smelly. Like so smelly that Paul from Before the 90 Days would just fit right in stench-wise. Now, all the filth aside, it was actually kind of a sweet thing that Joe was doing. He wanted to write a letter to each of his siblings, so he's delivering the letters to each of them on their beds, which it was a little surprising he was allowed into the girls' room, but maybe because they weren't in there. If this was something that he truly thought of on his own, I think it was really thoughtful and actually a really cool thing for an older brother to do. Now, because TLC is just condensing the shit out of this wedding special, again, te amo mucho y gracias, we cut to the church and we run into Miss Cindy again. She reminds us that this is her third Duggar wedding, but the first Duggar boy. And she's being very conscientious because even though it's a Duggar wedding, we want to make sure there's a lot of Kendra in it because she's a sweet girl and she deserves it. What is with all these weddings being planned and everything is picked out by other people? The other Duggar girls were the exact same way. They just showed up and then boom, oh, we picked your theme and all your flowers and all that stuff. I don't get it. And because Kendra is a godly girl, Miss Cindy has chosen to make the massive cross the main focal point. Jeremiah, the most silent and most non-Dougley of the Dougley brothers, has been a big help to Miss Cindy. Apparently, Jeremiah is a floral genius and Miss Cindy's new right-hand man. Jeremiah tries to obscure any and all stereotypes by telling us he's, quote, accidentally creative. It's okay, Jeremiah. You don't need to be afraid. You arrange those flowers like no one's watching, and someday, you may make the leap to Bravo and be a token gay bestie. Hang in there. We come to find out that there was a mix-up with the flowers, which means Miss Cindy is about to break some skulls. She is not happy, and I feel like she might just ring my doorbell and kick me in the shin before punching me in the boob for even talking about her. She scares me. You see, she ordered some wine-colored peonies. Some people call them peonies. Let's stop right there. I will put all my spare change in my car on the fact that she had to do a voiceover that some people call them peonies part because she didn't actually know how to say peony until the producers told her. I even Googled it to see, like, maybe I'm saying peony wrong. Maybe it's a regional thing. And no, of course it's not. Everyone knows it's peony, not peony. Also, don't order peonies in September. It's not in season. And Miss Cindy, the florist, should have known that. So anyway, Miss Cindy reiterates, everything's great except the flowers. And we never did see those peonies, did we? I mean, that florist probably had some hell to pay with her on the phone. So we get back to see what's up with Kendra besides her high octave register range. And we see that Laura, the wedding coordinator, she's back again. We saw her at all the other Duggar weddings in her above the knee jean skirt. So I'm guessing she's got to be a church employee. And Kendra is asking her sister Lauren if she has her fake eyelashes. I gasped. What? But I thought the Lord Jesus gave you the beauty from within, and he wouldn't want you to pretend to be someone you're not. Fake eyelashes are not real. Just like you claim homosexuality is not real because it's not ordained by God. Double standard much? Also, Lauren is drinking Starbucks. Is that allowed? Because I thought caffeine and the such is considered a toxic substance. Or maybe that's just a Mormon thing, because I was good friends with Mormons growing up, and all forms of caffeine and that kind of stuff was off limits. So I just assumed the Duggars were the same. Maybe I assumed I made an ass out of you and me, or just the me part. Now back to Joe, who is counting down the hours and the minutes until his first kiss. It's so bizarre. It's like his level of excitement is the same level of excitement I had about getting my first period after reading Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Remember, we must increase our bust. But like, God listened way too much to me because I could have done less with the bust part. And seriously, who prays for their first period? God, stupid Jody. Now, anyway, he's saying, I get to have my first kiss in a couple hours. It's exciting. And then a producer, I mean, whoever this producer is my new best friend, because they asked, have you been practicing? And Joe says, not really. If we mess up, we have plenty of time for improvement. It was actually a good answer, but I really don't want to think about either of them trying to kiss with their lack of upper lips. Now, Joe apparently was injured in some type of ball game, and they said what kind of game it was several times during the episode, and I kept going back to try to make out what they said, but I couldn't catch it. Maybe I'm losing my hearing. Maybe that's God's punishment to me for talking about the Duggars. But he's got a little gash on the side of his nose by his eye, and so he's going to wear some makeup to cover it up. It's really just funny because it's a Duggar, but I'm going to let this pass because what are you going to do? I mean, you don't want to ruin your photos, your memories with this big red bloody thing next to your eye, and I'd probably make my brother do the same thing if it bothered him that much. Now we get to see some more of the Dougley brothers, Jedediah. Don't even remember which one he looks like. We have Jason, who looks a lot like Jessa. And we have Justin, a new brother that I don't think I've ever seen, who looks a lot like Jill. Eesh. And of course, there's Jana, who's helping the boys. Because Princess Jessa isn't going to do jack shit for this wedding. We see Joy, who, although she's only 3 months pregnant, looks ginormous. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to fat shame. Again, I'm not a petite girl, but she looks drastically different in only 105 days. I did the math. I double checked 105 days. We get some more scenes with Kendra getting ready and she's talking to her mom. And immediately when I saw her mom, I was like, whoa, she is very pretty and very young for a mom. The dad is young too, and it pains me to say it, but he's hot. He just is. And some people online, because I had to look up how old is this guy, are saying he's between 39 and 40, which means they popped Kendra out likely before their own 19th birthdays. And this is where I started hearing it. The words I hate that adults use when they refer to their parents. She said about her father marrying her as the pastor, yeah, it's daddy. I think it's super neat. And then her beautiful mom opened her mouth and said, they're like two completes for each other. So I'm guessing the mom went to the Peggy Sulahan School of Public Speaking. I think she meant to say they complete each other. So back to Miss Cindy beating the shit out of her helpers because the flowers still haven't arrived and there's only 3 hours to go. Pictures have to be taken, so Miss Cindy does what she has to do. She's improvising and she does a decent job with what she had. There were a lot of leaves, but I guess when the Lord provides leaves, you use them. And again, she says, we won't tell the bride and she'll never know. Any other bride in this world would know what flowers they were missing if their bouquet was not the flowers she picked out. But these Quiverful girls have plenty of ladies in waiting who just plan their whole damn weddings. It's so freaking weird. And we get a shot of Miss Cindy yelling at Jedediah again. He's the one who's always messing up his sister's weddings, running out of gas. And John David makes an appearance for photos. I think he shall be named Silent John from now on. It just suits him. And then we see fucking Miss Renee. She is the phoniest piece of shit on this show. She's there to let everyone know she made Kendra's dress and she's there to have her QVC moment. Kendra gets into her dress and she's about to show her lover, her father, her dress. And Pastor Caldwell tells us how surreal it is, a word that every Duggar uses to describe their own weddings and each other's weddings repetitively. They need to check out a thesaurus from their homeschool library because we hear this word surreal 1,000 times. So Kendra's dress. I like the top on her. It gives her more of a neck, but the bottom is very tulle-y, kind of like the 1985 bridal Barbie of the year. Not my cup of tea. And then she says, "Daddy, are you ready? It's sparkly, right? You look sharp too." She tells him, "The bottom has a little bit of mommy's ruffle." Mommy. So now we got daddy and mommy. She gives him a picture of the two of them and she says, "So you can remember that you're always my daddy. You look great all the time, daddy." Ugh. I think she just wants to bone her daddy more than she wants to kiss Joe at this point. So back to Joe and Jana, who's trying to blend in his scab again. And Jana says, "I don't know if this is making it worse or better." A tip for everyone, that is the worst possible thing someone can say when they're doing your makeup, cooking, doing your hair, whatever. Just don't say that. "I don't know if this is making it better or worse." It's not reassuring. Now, as Miss Cindy throws a bouquet together for Kendra from the leftover shit that's still being swept up from Joy's wedding, Joe tells us how it's very surreal and sits down to have a talk with Jim Bob and Michelle. And I, like, my whole body tensed up because I was like, oh no, this is going to be it. Jim Bob calls Michelle over from her handlers, who quickly slipped her an upper under her tongue, and they intend to give Joe some parting advice and the recipe for a good marriage. Mish advises, "After Daddy and I have had 33 years of happiness," and she looks at JB like, "Was it happy? He was happy, right? Go to sleep without anything between you." And it's like, yeah, obviously you never want to sleep with anything between you because you have 19 kids. "Speak kindly, words of affirmation. I know Kendra will honor and respect you." And then JB finally butts in and says, "I know you're a man of few words, but with your wife, make sure to thank her and appreciate her every day. If you leave that out and you think she knows I love her and I'm thankful for her, you can't do that. You need to tell her." Now, my heart actually kind of stopped a little bit because I was like, that's actually pretty decent and practical advice. I was shocked. More so shocked because I thought he was going to give him the sex talk, the same one that he gave Josh the Monster before he got married. And even more vivid in my memory of this pre-boy Duggar wedding stuff was that book on CD, or maybe it was a tape during that time, that Jim Bob gave Josh and Anna to listen to in the car leaving the church on the way to their honeymoon suite. You guys remember this, right? I tried finding the name of it, but to no avail. So if you find out what it was they're listening to, please share, and I'm sure we can find it on eBay at a very low price, and I will buy it just to listen to it. Now, lastly, Jim Bob tells us that today isn't a sad day, it's a celebration, because Joe is getting a gorgeous, sweet, godly girl. Do you think it's a celebration for the Caldwells? Because I kind of wonder if the Duggar family is considered tainted because of the Josh scandal, or do you think they're still considered the holy grail of all families to marry into? Jeremiah is still all about this stupid little crown wreath thing for the cross that no one's even gonna notice. And fucking Josiah is still stepping in to fill Josh's former role as the family narrator. Remember when Josh wanted to have that film career? Ugh, I don't even want to know what he was really doing in that little editing room they built for him. And we check in with Kendra to find out, uh-oh, Miss Renee's handiwork is apparently a pile of garbage because she's only ironed on the mom's ruffle so that it can be reused, but she's done a crap job. And because this dress ruffle is falling down and ripping off, Kendra has to sew it back on because guess what? St. Jan of Arkansas has brought a sewing machine because of course she did. Meanwhile, Miss Renee, saying this on TV, probably stepped outside to take a solo drive, windows down, smoking a Swisher Sweet, drinking a Dr. Pepper in a paper bag. This time, still listening to her fave, Lena Ronstadt, singing loudly off key to Linda's cover of Tracks of My Tears. Mark my words. So now we're only 30 minutes out, and Joe is counting down the minutes till he gets his first kiss and his last cold shower he's ever going to have to take, until Kendra gets tired of cleaning up his wet towels and wrinkled Dockers left on the floor next to the hamper, and JB comes in and he gets choked up. Why am I starting to, I'm not going to say like, because I can't stand the man, but Jim Bob, just in relation to all the other crazy characters, somewhere in there, he at the very least loves his kids. We come back from commercial and we are finally at the moment for Kendra to walk down the aisle. A very pregnant Anna Duggar is barely shown to the left trying to fix Kendra's hair. But you know, they got to leave her out and just pretend that Josh and anything to do with him doesn't exist. And Mish and JB go down the aisle with Joe. And then I saw Michelle pull out her phone and she was recording this ceremony like my 74-year-old mother does with her iPad at events. You know, Michelle, there's a full camera crew. I'm pretty sure they got it covered. They're not going to miss a thing. Cannon and Dee is playing and that one just gets me every time. But then this just kept going and going. That entire procession was longer than the entire wedding ceremony. And Kendra and her dad are waiting to go in the back, and then it starts to get really awkward between the two of them. Like a, we've known each other for a long time, should we start to make out now? And then here we go, the bridal march is playing, and Joe starts losing it. Quivering chin, much to his own surprise, because he didn't think he was going to get emotional. Kendra makes it to the front and says to her dad, I love you. Give me a kiss. And he quickly barks, not yet. Ugh, and then you know what happens next. Pastor Caldwell starts with his toast to the bride and groom. At the moment when he's supposed to make it about his daughter and new son-in-law, this asshole has to make it all about him, making horrible jokes, looking at his phone where he wrote down his speech, and it's a long speech. A speech that would have been much more appropriate for a rehearsal dinner or even the reception after. And he makes a point of saying, Kendra is a beautiful girl, loves the word of God, going to church, she can cook, take care of children, loves to laugh, smile all the time. And that's when it got worse because I saw stupid Jeremy, Ginger's husband, in the background smiling away with that stupid, ugly face. So finally, Pastor Caldwell closes his self-aggrandizing, limelight-stealing speech and takes his place once again in front of the church as the pastor. Now, these Baptist ceremonies are very quick. I grew up Catholic, so I'm used to a full mass and even just Catholic ceremonies, other Christian wedding ceremonies without communion and stuff are longer than these Baptist ones. And did you notice there was no covenant talk like at Joy's, no promise to stay with your husband because it's not a legal contract, it's a covenant with God? Interesting. So to Pastor Caldwell, the Duggar girls had to stick with their asshole husbands because God says so. But you're leaving that part out for your own daughter, Kendra, in case her Duggar boy ends up being like Josh? I see what you did there, Caldwell. And side note, Kendra's bangs were bothering me. We quickly get to the rings, and Josiah decides to not only be the family narrator, but he's also the jokester. And there's no better time to pull a prank than during a formal wedding ceremony that other people have waited for their whole lives, and it's going to be televised worldwide. I'm certain Pastor Caldwell was pissed because now someone else was stealing the spotlight from him. Catfight! When it came time for the rings, best man Josiah had a friend rappel down from the rafters to deliver the ring. It wasn't funny. It was trying too hard. Just do your fucking job, Josiah, and hand the ring over. Just because you and your fellow camper at Alert Christian Academy learned how to rock climb and rappel this summer in preparation to fight Satan and his pretend evil army men doesn't mean you need to show off for the grown-ups. Just sit down at your kiddie table until you can legally buy some Rogaine and zip it. Now, it's awkward, but Kendra is just giggling and giggling and giggling. I thought she might have been on the verge of an asthma attack, but her one visible lower lip wasn't turning blue, so I figured she was okay. And Joe may have a touch of dyslexia because he says even with coaching two times, with this wing, I be wed. It was very Spaceballs. Marriage. Marriage, it would brings us together. Maybe a proper schooling and an IEP could have helped, but Jesus prayed it away, so this is where we're at. They go to light a candle, the unity candle, and Joe feels very manly, telling Kendra how to move a candle from left to right. And all throughout this time, what's playing? Butterfly fucking kisses. Daddy's little girl. This for me was legitimately weird. Enough with the daddy love stuff. Do you think they still cuddled up until that morning? Like, did he tuck her 19-year-old ass into bed every night? I'm all for close daughter-father relationships. Obviously, I am a daughter. I have a daughter. But this is beyond. Now, they didn't show what was said during this parent prayer thing, but I'm sure it included something about daddy missing his most precious gift. And meanwhile, we got a very quick shot of Michelle's mother, who looks medicated and dazed, doesn't know where she's at. Maybe Michelle and her mom just sit and watch hours of WTTW Antique Roadshow together alone in the knitting room, high as a kite. But it's time to kiss the bride, and they kiss. I'm imagining Joe slipped the tongue aggressively. They don't know any different. We probably could get a confirmation from Kendra's dad because I have a feeling he helps her co-author her diary every night. Flowers are then dumped from the ceiling because Miss Cindy loves a surprise ending. And then we really get a surprise because, boom, power goes out. And you could tell they were all like, Miss Cindy, what did you have planned now, you silly trickster? What are you up to? What did you have up your sleeve? But no, the power in the whole city is out. So what else can they do? Joe and Kendra sprint away. And when I say sprint, I mean full on 25-yard dash on field day to some back room. Do you believe the rumor that they all leave the altar and immediately go bang one out after the ceremony? That's what I've heard. And Joe was all sweaty and his comb over was wet when they interviewed them, so I wouldn't be surprised. But Kendra wasn't crying, asking, why, like Nancy Kerrigan, so I don't think she'd seen a Duggar peen yet. They cut the cake and these two decide to smush each other in the face. I'm not a fan of that, but whatever. They claim their first kiss was greater than expected, that they waited 22 years, Kendra 19, and it was epic and amazing. I doubt this first night together will be epic and amazing. Probably awkward, painful, lost, disappointed. So let's just let them enjoy this moment before the trauma begins. So now that we've finished this season together, we just need to await the Joy's Having a Baby series and start that, and we'll do this all over again.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.